If you'd like to go ahead and open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, the author and the narrator takes a special time in the first 10 verses to change the perspective a lot of who's doing the looking and who's doing the seeing and all of that. And I want you to take notice of it in the first 10 verses of Luke chapter 19. Starting in verse 1, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." So we're setting up who is going to be involved in this context. Verse 3, "He sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, 'Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I will stay at your house.' So he made haste, came down, and received him," talking about Jesus, "joyfully." So as far as we can see, this tax collector, this chief tax collector, had a real sense of urgency to go see who Jesus was about. And it was in twice saying in verse 3 and 4 that he made it an effort, an honest effort, to go see Jesus. In verse 5, however, the perspective changes to Christ himself. It says in verse 5, "When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus." And in fact, he calls him by his name. So I guess what we're looking at here is Jesus showing a portion of his divinity, who he was, having maybe not the knowledge of who Zacchaeus was to anybody else, but he himself had that knowledge, the foreknowledge of this is this man Zacchaeus. This happens multiple times in Scripture, by the way. This isn't the first time. Back in Matthew chapter 8, he was able to read or listen to the hearts of the men who were criticizing him. Does that in Mark chapter 8, excuse me? I think in what we just read this morning in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus goes and he tells Jesus, "I think that you're a prophet, I think you're a teacher from God," Jesus immediately switches the conversation to something more important. I think he knew Nicodemus' heart. And I think this is going on here, where he says in verse 5, he looks at him and he says, "Zacchaeus," he tells him to come down. So the perspective, the point of view, changes from Zacchaeus making the effort to go find Jesus, Jesus calling Zacchaeus by name, to receive joyfully, or Zacchaeus receives him joyfully. Look at what it says in verse 7. "When they," talking about the crowd, I believe, "saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.'" The crowd was unhappy with what was going on. What you know from Jewish history, what you know from portions of Scripture we gather, is that the chief tax collector, as much as any tax collector, was not seen very favorably in the eyes of the Jews. Especially if this man was a Jew himself, taking money from his own people and giving it to the Romans. It would not have seen that very often. Zacchaeus stands up for himself in verse 8. He said, "Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, 'Lord, Lord, I give half my gifts to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore for poor.'" So in his defense, he said, "I've always taken this honest and integrity kind of approach to my practice. If I've ever denied anyone, if I've ever taken from anyone, I've always made it right." It still seems as though the people are unhappy. In verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." So I was saying he's probably a Jew. Verse 10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." I think, as Ed was talking about, maybe a golden text of Scripture, as he put it this morning, this might be the golden idea or theme of the gospel itself. That God came to seek and save that which is lost. What happens multiple times within Scripture is that people who are looking for someone, perhaps looking for Jesus. And I mentioned Wednesday night that there was always times of moments of urgency, right? Where they begged Jesus or they implored Jesus, "Come save this person, come heal this person, bring them back, they died, this or that." This is right after what just happened at the end of chapter 8. Look at what happens right at the end of chapter 8. there is a blind man who had been blind and was crying out to Jesus, have mercy on me. And if you look at what it says at the verse 38, have mercy on me, the son of David. He's calling out to him as the lineage of David, which would have been a pretty strong statement in that time. So he was coming to seek and save the lost, people who could not see for themselves, people who were dead in their sin. And if you look at what he says with Zacchaeus, he came and seek to save the lost. It's a fundamental truth about Scripture. What every one of us can take away from that just this morning in very simple teaching is just the grace bestowed on those who are lowly and poor by Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 7, going back to chapter 19, verse 7, it says, but when they saw it, they complained. For whatever reason, the crowd was unhappy, and we've said some reasons, but the crowd was fundamentally unhappy with what was going on right there. We don't have the same blessing as everyone in this context. We're not seeing this go down in moment by moment like they were. You could be unhappy this morning for a bunch of different reasons. It says in John chapter 20, as Jesus says this in verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I think directly talking to the apostles themselves and the influence they'll have in the book of Acts, that was important to the people who would believe and not have seen Jesus. But by extension, that also applies to us. We are blessed in this moment that we believe that Christ was who he is, the son of David, like a blind man believed, and that his grace on us to give us this morning, to give us this moment to partake of the Lord's Supper. So this morning, I just want to give you a few things to think about as we go into the Lord's Supper.